南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hello everyone, I hope that you are in good health and secure. We are going to continue with Nichiren's letter of gratitude for his master after his passing, and in so doing, reviewing the major points of his education and elucidations as a result of his great teacher and the institution. We've already encountered his brief, although we've heard of it in several writings, description of this human nature that seems to also not only inflict itself upon everything in samsara, but the teachings of Buddhism as well. And there's always an opportunity for the ego, our selfness, wanting to identify and hang on to an idea of self that's so motivated to aggrandize itself. And so even in Buddhism, people in history would seek to have personal gain in the form of whether it was popularity or associations of power with certain elites. I'm one of these guys. It's a very samsaric thing. It seems, you know, I've stated this before, but it seems not only odd, but strangely corrosive to, you know, assumably you have a level of scholarship as a teacher of Buddhism, especially in those days where literacy was limited, right? Exposure to I suppose it shouldn't be such a shock, because most of the people throughout history who took on the monastic life, the scholarly life, did so from a very young age. So they really hadn't fully formed their personality, their manifestation of whatever karma they were instantiating, yeah? And so, you know, with all of the children going into monasteries to be raised as literate, reading, writing skills, and learning whatever they were learning, in this case, Buddhism. Didn't always fully affect their worldview. Just seems odd that, you know, as you and I study Buddhism, and Shakyamuni's culminating methodology of the Lotus Sutra, self-enlightenment, that to not see that as an amazing, precious thing, maybe it seems so precious and amazing to us simply because we weren't exposed to it early on. Could be. Could be that in relation to our life experience of failures and embarrassments and disappointments and betrayals, every human goes through some form, better or worse, to find that there's a way where you can lessen or even avoid entirely that kind of emotional pain, identity pain, seems quite precious, quite amazing, right? For most of us, that's our experience in life. So to try to understand the mindset of somebody who would discover this amazing practice, this really constant encouragement to live life fully, and use it as a means to gain fame or wealth, or it just seems so ugly to me. And yet here it is, yeah. So Nichiren goes on talking about the history of Buddhism, and mostly now focused on the transition of these teachings into Japan. And so he's going to talk about Grand Master Kobo's wrong doctrine. How did that come about? So after the Shingon debacle, he moves on and he says, next appeared a certain person called Kukai, a disciple of Gonsho of Ishibuchi, who was called later Grandmaster Kobo. On the 12th of the fifth month of the 23rd year of the Enraku era, 804, around the same time period, remember, as Saicho going back to Japan or China to research Tendai scholarship, yeah? He also traveled to China, where he studied the doctrine of the matrix store realm, something completely different, and the diamond realm, we've heard of that, from Master Hui Kyo, who was a third generation disciple of Tripitaka Master Vajrabodhi and Subhakarashima. So there we go. Hinayana teachers, masters, who, and you know these two names from the early proponents of shifting Buddhist scholarship to their Shingon system. Again, seeking fame and fortune. So Kobo comes back to Japan on the 22nd of the 10th month in the second year of Daido era in 807. So he stayed in China a little longer than Saicho, right? During the reign of Emperor Heisei, Emperor Kamu had already passed away. So after Dengyo had come back with the Emperor Kamu, Kamu dies and a new emperor takes his place. And as is the process of new leadership, they want to meet all of their subordinates. So Kobo was given an audience with Emperor Heisei, who regarded him rather highly. He made a convincing pitch to this emperor. Before long, this emperor retired and was succeeded by Emperor Saga. Well, they were going through emperors, weren't they? Who also put a lot of confidence in Grandmaster Kobo. I don't know what was happening with Dengyo at the time, but meanwhile, as Grandmaster Dengyo passed away on the 4th of the 6th month in the 13th year of the Koin era in 822, this is quite a bit later now, during the reign of Emperor Saga, Grandmaster Kobo became Imperial Master of Buddhism in the following year. So I think we can see that Master Dengyo was elderly and probably not in the greatest of health. And so his influence was, even in his lifetime, probably insulated, whereas Kobo was more vivacious and earned the ear of the emperors. So he quickly takes over the Buddhist doctrine in Japan. It's quite lamentable, but This is history, right? Establishing the Shingon school of Buddhism, Master Kobo was given the Toji Temple and called himself Master of Mantra, Shingon Wajo. Thus began the term Eight Schools. So here we go again. We saw this coming, didn't we? Grandmaster Kobo established the comparative superiority of all the sutras of Buddhism, declaring that his comparison of the exoteric and esoteric Buddhism, and here we're going to quote, the perfect teaching is Shingon Buddhism, and the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, followed by the Flower Garland Sutra in the second place, the Lotus Sutra and the Nirvana Sutra are in the third place. Well, he got this straight from Subhakarashima, right? The Lotus Sutra is more truthful than such sutras as the Agama Sutras, the Hodo Sutras. So, yeah, it's far beyond Hinayana practices, right? But less truthful than the Flower Garland Sutra and the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. Less truthful? I don't know if that translation is accurate, but if it is, how could you say that about any of Shakyamuni's words? Every sutra makes sure that you cannot say that. How is it more truthful? I suspect that what is meant is more containing of the essence of Buddhism, the fundamental point, right? But translations as they are, let's continue. Though Lord Shakyamuni is a Buddha, compared with the Great Sun Buddha, he is still in a state of bewilderment like a barbarian standing in front of the emperor. Now, these kind of statements always bewilder me. Shakyamuni is Buddhism. He's the founder, the first one to describe this awakening, this enlightenment, this condition, the state of mind that we call Buddha. And in his storytelling, he creates these various personages, these other Buddhas, which are just descriptions of this state of mind through storytelling. So how is it that the storied invention from the mind of Shakyamuni is more Buddha than Shakyamuni? It just completely bends my brain. I can't even say it. And yet, here we are. Grandmaster Tendai is a thief. How does he get away with just that? Grandmaster Tendai is a thief. Everyone after Tendai owes an incredible gratitude to the scholarship of Chi Yi and the teachings of Tendai. Recataloging and reinvesting and putting in order the entire corpus of Buddhist teachings overcame all of the misunderstandings of seven great schools throughout China. China's a big place. Tendai proves unequivocally the correct order of teachings. And so up comes this guy. Oh, he's just a thief. Yeah, he stole it. He stole the Shingon term, which Shingon never even existed until these charlatans came out of the woodwork to claim their fame. Quote, the taste of clarified butter or ghee, and called the Lotus Sutra that ghee. That thief, Tendai, who do you think he was? You owe your existence in scholarship to him. Oh, no matter. Buddha, you know, just a jerk, you know. This guy he made up. No, that's Buddha. Yeah, I mean, it's just you would have to rely on a populace that wasn't rational, that didn't use reason, right? It's authoritarianism, totalitarianism, fascism, whatever you want to call it, in whatever form. This is people who desire to be subjugated by power and fame and celebrity and give that authority. They don't want to have authority for themselves. They don't want to know for themselves. They want to be told what to believe. And I take the time to describe this context because, damn it, it's hard not to see that in our world today. It's everywhere. People idly standing by and shouting slogans that they don't even begin to understand. Because they take actual personal pride in mimetically spouting other people's thoughts. Like that gives them some little brush of celebrity for themselves. Doesn't matter, and it makes no sense. Doesn't matter that it's utter ridiculousness. They'll just, this, I'm repeating this. No substance. It's bewildering to a reasonable mind. And Buddhism is about the mind of reason, rationally observing, right? There's no mysticism in Buddhism. Buddhism is about clearly seeing the state of affairs with clarity. Nichiren goes on, the highly esteemed Lotus Sutra was of little value to Great Master or Grandmaster Kobo. Putting aside non-Buddhist teachings in India, his statement is worse than those insisted on by the Northern and Southern Masters of China, that the Lotus Sutra, compared with the Nirvana, was a sutra of wrong view. Right? Tendai already won this battle, but here it is again. It is worse than those of the Kigon school, stating that the Lotus Sutra was trivial compared with the essential one, the Flower Garland Sutra. He was as bad as the Brahmin, the boaster in India, who spread false teachings sitting on a platform with four legs of the great Liberty Heavenly King, Narayana, Vasudeva, and Buddha. The legs of the pedestal he stood on. If Grandmaster Dengyo had been alive, Kobo could not have uttered such an opinion. I don't even think it was an opinion. It was utter nonsense. It was propaganda to be chewed up and swallowed whole by an ignorant populace. That's what it was. Why did not, now on the other side of the fence, who's gobbling this up? There are other scholars, to be sure, in Kobo's time. Why aren't they speaking up, calling Kobo out? Sorry, Emperor, Kobo's out of his mind. Were they that scared of him? Or were they that scared of the hold Kobo had on the emperor? I don't want to lose my property and my stuff. So they're just as complicit. So Nichiren says, why did not Gishin, Encho, Chikaku, Chiso say anything about him? I must say, it was the greatest calamity in the world. And now Nichiren moves on to the next one. Grandmaster Jikaku's wrong doctrine. Right? He was one of those highly educated from the Tendai sect, from Dengyo. Said nothing of Kobo's derision. So what's he going to come up with? to ingratiate himself with those elites in power. Grandmaster Jikaku, or Enin, as he's also known, went to China in the fifth year of the Jōwa era in 838. So even though he wasn't alive in Dengyo's time, I don't believe that he was, he was in the line of Tendai lineage from the Tendai school in Japan. And so he goes to China in 838 and studied the two schools of Tendai and Shingon for 10 years. So maybe he was plagued by a little bit of a, how do I get this right in my head? Because my lineage is Tendai, although I didn't say crap while Kobo was stomping all over it. But maybe there's something about Shingon I could learn or I need to know. Wait, maybe he was looking for Shingon scholarship so he could figure out how to pick it apart. Could be. That wasn't unusual. So let's find out. 10 years he spent in China studying the Chinese schools of Tendai and Shingon, trying to get ahead of Kobo and his ilk, and his Subagarashima and so on, or the history of them. He studied the comparative superiority of the Lotus Sutra and the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, the crux of the matter, yeah, from eight masters of Shingon Buddhism, such as Fa Xuan, Yuan Cheng, and others. He learned that the Lotus Sutra and the Great Sun Buddha Sutra were the same in doctrine, but that the latter is superior in ritualism of mantras and mudras, right? Always this magical thing of hand positions and magical spells. This is the whole Shingon thing, right? That makes it superior to the Lotus Sutra. So much complexity. At any rate, from such Tendai monks that he studied with, Qi Yuan, Kuang Xu, and Wei Chuan, however, he learned that the Great Sun Buddha Sutra is nothing but a Hodo Sutra. It was invented. These aren't the words of Shakyamuni so much as they are adaptations by the Hodo sect. On the 10th of the ninth month, in the 13th year of the Jōwa era, he returned to Japan on the 14th of the sixth month, in the first year of the Kajō era. The emperor ordered him to report on his studies in China and to perform a sprinkling the water on the head service. So you don't send one of your subjects to a foreign land to learn without coming back and report to you what they've learned. Yeah? So that's what's going on here. Perhaps Jikaku was unable to decide in China which was superior, the Lotus or the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. In his seven-faceted commentary on the Diamond Peak Sutra, and also the seven-faceted commentary on the Sutra of the Act of Perfection, he insisted that the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, the Diamond Peak Sutra, the Sutra on the Act of Perfection, and the Lotus Sutra are the same in the end. Can I just say chicken shit? But that in ritualism of mudra and mantras, the three sutras of the Shingon Buddhism are superior to the Lotus Sutra. Yeah, chicken. He was scared. He must have known. But he also knew from study how manipulative and powerful the rhetoric of the Shingon teachers was. And he didn't have to be a votary of the Lotus Sutra requires tremendous confidence. We talk about this all the time, right? To know what is right, to call out the emperor is naked. Remember, again, with the emperor gets new clothes story, right? You either have to be like a child, unaware of the forces, political forces against you, or as an adult, very aware of the political forces against you. But damn it, you're going to stand on principle and you're going to say what needs to be said. That takes a lot of strength, a lot of conviction. And to call out amongst a whole crowd that's fawning on the emperor, he's naked. Sounds like a small thing, but it's a very big thing. This is exactly what's happening here with Chikaku. Convincing people that they have to have hand positions and do all these magical things makes them more pliable, more better subjects for the emperor. Yeah, that's why it's superior. Oh, that sales pitch has already sailed, so he's not stomping on any new ground, is he? You're safe. It's so transparent. Well, through history it is. But it's no less disgusting as we read it. This is exactly the same as what Subhakarashima, Vajrabodhi, and Amoghavajra maintained in their commentaries on the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. Like I said, he wasn't saying anything new. He was just going with the fashion of the day. 10 years he spent studying, he didn't learn a damn thing. Well, he may have, but he didn't let it be known. However, Great Master Chikaku still might have had some doubts, or even if he had resolved his own doubts, he might have wanted to clear away the doubts of others. Get off my back. So he placed the 14 facets of the commentaries in front of the main object of worship and said prayers. Quote, I have written these commentaries. I wonder whether or not these are in accordance with the intent of the Buddha. You know damn well they're not. Please show me which is superior, the three sutras of Shingon or the triple lotus sutras, the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Lotus Sutra, and Sutra of Meditation on Universal Sage Bodhisattva, right? The threefold lotus. At dawn on the fifth day of his prayers, he had a dream which he shot an arrow at the sun in the blue sky, and it flew up in the sky to hit the sun, which looked frightened and was about to fall to the ground. Now, how would you see? We've talked about this dream of his before, right? And this sounds like the story of a coward. I don't know which side to stand on. I don't have the chutzpah to stand up and say what's obvious. The Lotus Sutra is superior to all other sutras. Because that would go against this history, right? Because this has been going on for a while now, of the Shingon entertaining the ear of the emperor and the elites, and all of the wonderful support that goes with it, the esteem, the lands, the money, the servants, you get it all, the fiefdom, so on and so forth, the temple. Or do I stand up like my master, my historical master, Dengyo? I mean, look what happened after Dengyo, or Saicho. He didn't get his ordination platform. That happened later, right? But he didn't get that in his lifetime. He suffered a lot. Do I want to stand like that? Or do I want to bask in the glory of everybody else and just go along and be treated as, well, let me think of a mystical way to do it. Because Shingon is mysticism, basically. I'll say I had this dream and I killed the sun. Would that sound like a good omen to you? Somehow he manipulated this story. And Nichiren has had the same commentary, if you'll recall. We've covered this before. What was he thinking? He compared the sun to Buddha. He said, see, Buddha was afraid. So this is right. Shingon is right. Again, this twisted mind, it's unfathomable. He was awakened at this moment and said in delight, quote, I had a lucky dream. I believe that his idea, that Shingon is superior to the Lotus Sutra agrees with the intent of the Buddha. First of all, it wasn't his idea, it was Subhakarashima's. Hundreds of years earlier. He was just parroting. He asked for an imperial edict for the propagation of those commentaries throughout Japan. In this imperial edict, it is said that the perfect teaching of Tendai and Shingon doctrine match exactly like two halves of a tally. So he was trying to forge a middle ground. Not sure his reason. Thus, according to Jikaku's prayer, the Lotus Sutra seemed to be inferior to the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, but according to the imperial edict, both sutras are equal. What is going on? This guy sounds like, who's that senator I can't stand, who just grossly flip-flops depending on whose butt he's kissing. That religious guy. What's his name? Anyway. It's insane, isn't it, to think of these people as in power, in the halls of power? Well, we can see why. They're just, what would we call them in French? And in Quebec, we call them a torchon. An ass wiper. Oh, my goodness. How much time do we have? Okay, we're good. The next guy he goes to is Chisho, the Grandmaster Chisho's wrong doctrine. How did he approach this scholarship question? Grandmaster Chisho, or Enchin, as he's also known, studied Buddhism from Venerable Gishin, Grandmaster Encho, Superintendent Kojo, and Chikaku in Japan. So he's a follower of Chikaku. Sorry. He studied most of the esoteric and exoteric forms of Buddhism in Japan, and he went to China, probably to understand the comparative superiority of the Tendai and Shingon schools. Yet another scholar is going to go investigate. So it seems the undercurrent here is there was never any certainty. This is all propaganda and political ploy, yeah? It's quite obvious. So this guy goes to China to try to understand. And in the second year of Ninju era, 852, he went to China, where he learned Shingon Buddhism under the guidance of such masters as Fa Chuan and Yuan Cheng. Now, who's sponsoring these trips to China? Must mean that the elites still aren't convinced. That doesn't that say something? Or maybe they're sending these people to China to once again, since it's been 20, 30, 40 years, let's send another scholar to make sure we're doing it right and to show our due diligence. We really don't care what he comes back with because we're the powerful. But let's do this as a matter of course. Let's give this guy a vacation to China to go and study. And when he comes back, you know, we'll listen to what he has to say. Wink, wink. Whatever helps us manipulate the masses, we could care less if it's true or not. We just want to maintain power and influence, right? Maybe I'm too cynical. Let's keep reading. Their doctrine is the same as that of Grandmaster Chikaku, right? Same thing, in which they insisted that the Great Sun Buddha Sutra and the Lotus Sutra are equal in doctrine, but the former, the Sun Buddha, is superior in ritualism. He learned the Tendai doctrine under the direction of Venerable Liang Shu, who insisted that the Great Sun Buddha Sutra could not equal the Flower Garland Sutra and the Lotus Sutra. After 7 years in China, he returned to Japan on the 17th of the fifth month in the first year of the Jogan era, 859. And let's see what happens with him. In his commentary on the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, entitled The Purport of the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, Chisho stated, quote, "Even the Lotus Sutra cannot be compared with the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, not to mention the other sutras." Ah, what a coward. According to his commentary, the Lotus Sutra is inferior. So he took a step further to the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. Grandmaster Chisho also stated in his collection of secrets to Buddhahood. Secrets to Buddhahood? Compared with the teachings of the Flower Garland, the Lotus, and the Nirvana, those of the Shingon and the Zen schools, where'd that come from, are expedient gates leading to the true teachings. Wait a minute. What in the hell is going on? Chisho really wants to be buddied up with the elites. But listen, Zen is it's almost the opposite of mudras and mantras and magical spells and of the Shingon. Zen is this quietude, be nothing. Wow, unbelievable. In his Annotations on the Sutra of Meditation on the Universal Sage Bodhisattva and Annotations on the Commentary of the Lotus Sutra, Grandmaster Chisho states that the Great Sun Buddha and the Lotus Sutra are the same. Well, which is it? If you were emperor, wouldn't you be slapping this kid around? In the imperial edict issued on the 29th day of the fourth month in the eighth year of the Jogan era, 866, so this is quite a few years later, it is stated that both the schools of Shingon and Tendai claimed to be the supreme and profound teachings with the taste of clarified butter. The imperial edict issued on the third of the sixth month states, this is going to sting. So they give this monk all this time and money to go study in China, comes back and he relays his discourse on the whole thing. And this is the edict from the emperor, right? The emperor's office. Let's see how he navigates this. "Our respectable Grandmaster Dengyo began practicing both Tendai meditation and mantras, establishing the way we have to follow." So he's still maintaining the great revolutionary reformer Dengyo in Tendai Japanese Buddhism. Interesting. He hasn't thrown the baby out with the bathwater yet. There's a lot of Shingon rhetoric going around, but he's still referencing Dengyo. Interesting. Let's continue. "Each of his successors, without exception, as the head of the Enrakuji Temple, followed his example in observing both practices." But that was never his practice. Dengyo shifted his practice after he went and studied in China and discovered Tendai was superior, but they're kind of letting that escape. "How can we, his students of later generations, betray him?" Well, you have. "However, it is said that the monks on Mount Hiei have betrayed their masters, upholding doctrines of other schools while neglecting their own. Neither of the two ways transmitted from our early masters should be omitted. It is our duty We who propagate the Buddha's way to continue practicing both Tendai meditation and magical spells. From now on, it must be the rule that only a complete master of both should be appointed head of the Inrakuji Temple on Mount Hiei. Well, there's some wisdom in that, but they sure cozied up to this Shingon aberration, yeah? So this next section will be blaming Jikaku and Chisho. And maybe there'll be some clearing up there. Can we get into it? Let's go ahead. We'll start. I don't know how far we'll get in. That section's a little more lengthy. So this is Nichiren now, speaking on this situation. Both Jikaku and Chisho, disciples of Dengyo and Gishin respectively, have been having been to China to see the great masters of Tendai and Shingon Buddhism, seemed unable to decide which of the two schools was superior. They were just chicken. At times they stated that Shingon was superior, at others Tendai. Still, at other times, they claimed that both were equal in doctrine, but Shingon was superior in rituals. They presented a petition to the imperial court and had an imperial edict issued to forbid discussing the comparative superiority of the two. Scholars of the other schools could never accept such contradictions, right? I mean, the Buddha way is the Buddha way. It's not the Buddha ways, yeah? You're either eating a steak or you're not. I should say beef steak, I guess. The imperial edict states that it was Grandmaster Dengyo who established a doctrine equating the two schools. Baloney. However, in what works of Grandmaster Dengyo can we find that? Nichiren's pointing it out. It must be studied and examined with great care. Nichiren's quarrel with Chikaku and Chisho about Grandmaster Dengyo can be compared to children fighting against their parents for seniority or comparing our eyesight to the sun. Those who stand by Chikaku and Chisho had better show definite proof. After all, only dependable proof can convince us to believe in them. Tripitaka Master Xuan Chang, who had been to India to read the Abhidharma Dabibasha Ron, was blamed for its mistranslation by monk Fa Pao, who had never been to India. Tripitaka Master Fa Hu, who had seen the original scripture of the Lotus Sutra in India, was accused of misplacing the transmission chapter by a Chinese who had never read it in Sanskrit. Though Chikaku learned directly from Grandmaster Dengyo and Chisho from Venerable Gishin, why should we not doubt them if what they say is different from what Dengyo and Gishin say in their authentic writings? The effects of Tendai on Buddhist schools, which is the most secret of all the works by Grandmaster Dengyo, says in its introduction, quote, "The Shingon school of Buddhism, introduced later than the Tendai school to Japan, lost the written transmission which Akaraya Yixing had received from Subakarashima, Shanwu Wei. And the Kigon school, introduced in Japan earlier than the Tendai school, hides its doctrine set up by Fatsuangs after the teaching of the Tendai school. The Sanran school, which holds the doctrine of voidness, has forgotten its founder, Grandmaster Chi Xiang, had been defeated in debate by Grandmaster Tendai, and concealed the fact that he surrendered to Grandmaster Chang'an. The Hoso school, which insists on the doctrine of existence, denies that its founder, Grandmaster Chi Chao of Fayang surrendered to Grandmaster Tiandai, and it was abandoned. It has abandoned a commentary on the Sutra of the Benevolent Kings written by Liang Pen of the Qinglun Su Temple according to Tendai doctrine. Therefore, I, Dengyo, wrote a facile of the effects of Tendai on Buddhist schools for my disciples of later generations in the 7th year of the Kuomintang era during the reign of the 52nd Emperor of Japan. Pretty clear, isn't it? Nichiren continues, in its main discourse, Grandmaster Dengyo declared, quote, a famous Indian monk, hearing that Tendai doctrine in China was most capable of revealing the difference between the true teachings and false ones, respectfully requested that it be transmitted to India. This was the accomplishment of GE and the Tendai school, addressing the true course of Shakyamuni's teachings. He further states, quote, is it not that people in India are looking for the true teachings of the Buddha in foreign countries because they can no longer be found in India? In fact, India lost Buddhism altogether for a long time, right? Nevertheless, just as the people of the Lu state in ancient China neglected their native sage, Confucius, the Chinese people do not pay much attention to the commentaries of Grandmaster Tendai. This effects of Tendai on Buddhist schools of Dengyo blames the four schools of Hoso, Sanran, Kigon, and Shingon. If the Tendai school and the Shingon school were the same, how could he blame the latter? He compared Tripitaka master Amoghasvaja and other masters to the men of the Lu state. How could he blame them if the Shingon school of Subhakarashima, Vajrabodai, and Amoghasvajra were superior to the Tendai school? If Shingon Buddhism in India were equal to or superior to the Tendai school, why did the Indian monk ask Amoghasvajra to transmit the true teachings from China? Anyhow, both Chikaku and Chisho were disciples of Grandmaster Dengyo in name only. In their heart, they were not his disciples at all. In this effect of Tendai on Buddhist schools, Grandmaster Dengyo says that he wrote it for his later disciples with the same belief as his. The same belief here means that Shingon Buddhism is inferior to Tendai Buddhism. The imperial edict, which they themselves requested, says monks on Mount Hiei have the wrong concept, betraying the teacher of the Grandmaster Dengyo. And, quote, those who succeed Grandmaster Dengyo should study and practice both the Tendai meditation and mantras. According to the imperial edict, it was Chikaku and Chisho who disobeyed Grandmaster Dengyo. It is awful to blame them in this way. However, if this were not done, the comparative superiority of the Great Sun Buddha Sutra and Lotus Sutra would be lost for good. So I blame them at the risk of my own life. The emperor is naked. I'm sorry I keep harping on that, but understand the nature of what Nichiren is saying here. Too many people have drank the Kool-Aid. These two monks, Chikaku and Chisho, had good reason not to claim the teaching of the Grandmaster Kobo was false because they held the same doctrine as Kobo. See the politics? They carefully inserted their study into the political program. They should not have gone to China, wasting much food and bothering many people. Instead, they should have stayed in Japan and studied the teachings of their original master, Grandmaster Dengyo. Maybe then they would have learned something. Therefore, the teachings of the Buddha on Mount Hiei were transmitted through only three patriarchs, Grandmaster Dengyo, Venerable Gishin, and Grandmaster Encho. After these leaders, the heads of the Enraku Temple on Mount Hiei were supporters of Shingon Buddhism. The names and fiefs were those of the Tendai Temple, but its heads were masters of Shingon Buddhism. Jikako and Chisho did not follow the teachings of the Lotus Sutra, which maintains, quote, "The Lotus Sutra is the most excellent of all the sutras which have already been preached, are now being preached, and are to be preached in the future," explicitly states in the Lotus. Are not those who do not follow these teachings of the Lotus Sutra great enemies of Shakyamuni Buddha? Yeah. The Buddha of many treasures? The Buddhas in manifestation from all over the worlds in the 10 directions of the entire universe? Right? They're blocking access to that enlightenment by misleading you into fanciful practices because it's easier to control you if you're mystified by everything. That's the political reality. I know I'm going a little long today, but I want to finish this section. I think it's important that we maintain a continuity here. Nichiren continues, "I had believed that Grandmaster Kobo was the worst slanderer of the true Dharma, but now I believe that these two monks were far worse. Because they knew. Kobo knew. But these guys propagated and continued the mythology and really pounded it into the cultural mindset. When wrong is so obvious, like water and fire or heaven and earth, nobody will adopt it. And so it will not do harm. Grandmaster Kobo's doctrine is so wrong that his disciples have not accepted it. Ritualism with mudra and mantras have been characteristic of Shingon Buddhism, but the doctrines of Grandmaster Kobo were so hard to use that they used those of Subhakarashima, Vajrabodhi, Amoghavajra, Jikaku, and Chisho instead. So they found easier formulas, I suppose. Jikaku and Chisho said that Shingon and Tendai were equal in doctrine. And that was enough to fool many people into going along with the mudra and mantras of the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. Even Tendai monks began to learn Shingon rituals for opening the eyes, ceremonies for newly enshrined wooden statues or picture images, which we know abundantly stated by Shakyamuni, follow the law, not the person, not even me. Before long, all the people in Japan became Shingon Buddhists, leaving the Tendai school without followers. How pathetic. Though the difference between monks and nuns or black and blue is hard to see for poor-sighted people, it is easy even for them to distinguish a monk from a layman or white from red. How much more so for those who have good eyes? However, as the doctrines of Jikaku and Chisho are as confusing as difference between black and blue, both the wise and the foolish were bewildered. They just went along to get along. As a result, over the last 400 years, everybody became a slanderer of the true Dharma. Everybody on Mount Hiei, at the Onjoji Temple, the Toji Temple, temples in Nara, in the five districts around Kyoto, along the seven circuits, and all over Japan. Next section will be practicers of the Lotus Sutra, the true Dharma. But that's a great shift in topic there, so that'll be our next video, okay? Again, I have to thank you guys so much for your listening, for your watching this video, for your study, for your desire to know, your curiosity. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, we are practicing the culminating teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, the self-enlightenment practice of the Lotus Sutra. As soon as we sit down in front of our Butsudan and get all of our consciousnesses to focus on this mandala ceases to be a piece of paper with characters on it and becomes a conceptual door, a walkway into our Gohonzon, our ultimate gate to Buddha. And in that very next moment, birth Buddha mind. And then we keep that Buddha mind going. And when we're done and we close after Gangyo or Daimoku, we hope, we wish, we inculcate. It's not a wish. It's an actual training of our mind to stay in, to maintain Myoho Renge Kyo as we course through our daily lives. This is what influences our environment, including other people, but everything. We are in rhythm, if you will, with the entire engine of life, the universe. Yes, I just heard what I said. When we chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, we engage our mind to perceive this physical reality as it truly exists, which is no different anywhere in the universe. So our perception becomes aligned with, open to, the nature of all phenomena, all living processes. Right? From dark matter to particles, all of it, all manifests potential. It's all based on forms of energy. Energy which is always in flux. If it were not in flux, then we wouldn't have all these wonderful manifestations of different potentials. Ultimately, all the one energy. That doesn't deny the existence of all of this. But we see it and understand it as an ongoing process, as this moment-to-moment instantiations that we also are, but our mind, our consciousness of Buddha evaluates, participates, understands our momentum within the momentum of the whole universe. So there is no anxiety about ownership or gaining or it's all the same. Equanimity. We're all in process. We are really energies of manifestations of various potentials within the whole. And the whole never changes. It's all of these little bubbles. We live in a froth of existence. The differences are the illusions we create by trying to identify our bubble as so unique. Because I can have that bubble and that bubble and that bubble. And if we get our mind outside of that momentary attachment and everything, we can laugh. It's just all bubbles. Right? Whew. Wow, I don't have to stress about that anymore. It doesn't mean be ignorant, be stupid, put your head in the sand. I mean, you're in samsara, and there are tendencies and conditions at play. That's karma. It's not that we become completely ignorant of all of that. It's that our attachment, our desires of ownership and hanging on to, no longer at play. So that means we can make much more logical decisions. How do we navigate all of these instantiations and manifestations, right? Well, it's much easier to do when you're not self-identified with every little pixel in it. I hope that makes sense. Share with me, argue with me, whatever. Let me know your thoughts on this. That's what the comments are for. That's what the emails are for. This discussion can only strengthen our practice. That's the purpose of study. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thanks once again for being here. Super duper thanks to our patrons on patreon.com/TLK, or those of you who support this channel directly through paypal.me/SifuSylvain. You guys keep this channel going and the work. I would be doing the work anyway for myself because that's part of my practice. But the fact that we can share it throughout the world, how amazing is that? Let's keep that going. Don't forget, like. I always forget to do that, so I like to hear it. Subscribe, that's a biggie. Keep this thing going. Let's strengthen our practice. Let's let our Buddha mind influence our communities, our neighborhoods, our households. Through enough consistent effort, that influence will expand into the world. And maybe, just maybe, we can turn this tide of greed, anger, and stupidity that's so prevalent in our world today. Let's make that a thing of the past, or at least to diminish it to the point where it's just an annoying little bubble that we don't need to pay attention to anymore. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I'm so appreciative of your practice and proud that you have the stamina and the intellectual dignity to keep at it. All right, I'll see you in the next one. Thanks so much again. I don't know how many times I'm going to say thank you, but I really genuinely feel it. Bye for now.